This is COVID Connections on the Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Right, the country is in disarray today because, of course, as you all know, last week Leo Varadkar mentioned air bridges, and by the 9th of July decisions would be made in respect of which countries would be safe to go on holidays. Every other country in Europe has been advised to open its borders by the EU, provided of course strict guidelines are put in place, i.e. quarantines from certain countries that have higher rates of infections, and no quarantines for countries that don't have higher rates. They were thinking of bringing in one stage of traffic light system, why it would be green, you know, kind of orange and red depending on how many infections were in the country. In other words, we were told that certain countries were safe to go to. So, ultimately, people ran out, booked their holidays, or rescheduled the already bookings that they had. Then Tony Houlihan put a spanner in the works over the weekend and told everybody, because people listened to him, his personal opinion, to cancel your holidays. Now people are getting back onto the airlines and saying, actually, I don't think it's safe after all. I don't want to go. Today is the big day for the airlines, of course, and you heard Ryanair on the news there saying that they have, I think, 85% of the routes are back open, 40% capacity back open again today, and all the popular holiday destinations are wide open for you to go to, but the government is telling you not to go. Ireland have become a little bit of an outlier because other European countries are welcoming in tourists, and we're saying no. So where do we stand, officially, if we need to get our money back again? Well, to help me out on this, as usual, Sarah Slattery is from the travelexpert.ie. There's loads of great advice, by the way, on our website if you want to go to it. But Sarah, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. Thanks for having me on.
Every time we have you on, it has changed again, Sarah. Something new has happened. Your mind must be just a mess full of sweetie mice at this stage because, I mean, what are we supposed to do? I mean, so let's say I booked last week, you know, because I listened to Leo Varadkar and I took his advice and booked me holidays to Greece or to Portugal or any of those countries that we thought were going to be air bridges. And now, all of a sudden, the airline is flying. They're offering me a deal, Ryanair or Aer Lingus, and the government is saying, I'm sorry, travel advisory, you can't go. Where do I stand if I want to cancel it?
Yeah, it's so confusing. I mean, I just when you thought it couldn't possibly get even more confusing, and it did. Yeah, where you stand at the moment isn't great, because if you decide you don't want to travel, you know, what Tony Holohan, you know, telling Ryanair that Tony Holohan said this, that and the other, they're not going to care, you know, or telling an airline that. Basically, if you decide you don't want to travel, you'll lose your money. Now, many airlines will allow you to change your dates. Depends that some hotels, though, you know, you may have booked a non-refundable room, or some hotels may not let you change at this last minute. So it is very much down to an individual booking, depending on
what
airline.
But they have no obligation to do it?
Absolutely no, not at all. Now, if the government advice against non-essential travel is in place, which it looks like it will be for the foreseeable, you have travel insurance, you may be able to claim in your travel insurance, but that is the only sure way
now,
of getting...
Now, let's get the travel insurance. Is that only if you've booked it post-COVID-19? So if I booked in November, say for the end of July, and I now listen to Tony Holohan and I'm saying, oh, can I move it forward till, you know, August or September, or can I get my money back? I have I suppose I can come back to my insurance company, but if I booked it in the last month, I don't. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, most, now they are talking about bringing out COVID policies now for new bookings, but most really from March until now, most of them didn't cover cancellation due to COVID. So it's unlikely that if you bought your travel insurance after March, I think it was 17th or whatever date in March, it's unlikely that it will be covered. Now, most airlines are allowing you change. Ryanair, like, are not, and I think that's where a lot of the angst is at the moment. They will only allow you change new bookings. If you booked from the 10th of June to travel last minute, they will let you change those bookings to later on in the year. But if you booked, like most people, back in January to go in July and August, and you've booked to travel with Ryanair, you want to change your dates. Yeah, like it's really, really unfair.
Okay, so you're going or you're losing your money, and that's basically it.
So to change your, especially for families, to try and change the next year, so the change fees are nearly as expensive.
I know.
As the flights. At least Aer Lingus are waiving the changes, or most airlines are waiving the changes. And I think, to be fair on most people, I think most people would understand, you know, they understand what Tony Holohan is trying to say, albeit the timing, you know, couldn't be worse, and the mixed messages are awful. But I think people would understand if they had some sort of comeback, if they were allowed to change their booking, if they weren't losing their money. But you know, it's very, you know, hard on people and very annoying when, you know, he's, Tony Holohan stands up and says or tweets, you know,
his own opinion,
you should cancel your holiday.
Yeah.
And you know, well, are you going to give me my $2,000 back that I've paid?
It's all well and good for Tony, who's on a good wage, I'm sure.
But
Sarah, okay, getting back to the insurance companies and where we stand with them, okay, a lot of people I've talked to since the last time we spoke, they've been on to, and I don't want to mention any ones in particular, but we all know the most popular ones, right? And they've been on to their insurance companies. They booked, say, to go away to, I don't know, Spain or Florida, whatever it was, in the middle of May or April. They had to cancel their holidays. They're not having much luck getting their vouchers or whatever. We'll come to that in a second, right? But they booked their villas or their hotels, and they can't get the money back there. They get on to their insurance company, and the insurance companies are saying, sorry, COVID-19, that's not covered. Is it covered? If you booked before the pandemic started, say in, you know, December or January, and you booked for the middle of the pandemic, which was April or May, are you entitled to get an insurance refund based on the fact that you cannot get the money back from your accommodation or from your flight or whatever it happens to be?
Well, most insurance companies that I'm aware of, travel policies, if you have a, like if you booked with a travel agency, most of them include as standard government travel advice. So if the government says it's avoid against non-essential travel, yes, and you bought your insurance policy before the middle of March, yes, you should be able to claim. If you booked online direct with somebody like multitrip.com, you need to add on travel disruption cover at the time. If you have that app, then you would also
would most people have done that? Most people just go for the basic package, wouldn't they?
Well, in fairness, at the time when COVID started, there was in fairness to Multitrip, I mean, I said it myself a few times, they gave people about 3 or 4 weeks to say, look, you know, make sure you have travel disruption. You can add it on for €7 or whatever it was. So there was a lot of publicity at the time.
Yeah, but that was only after we knew about the pandemic. But if it was in December you booked, you didn't. So you're saying you didn't need to have that travel disruption.
Yeah, but they told people to make sure you have it. You know, going forward, they gave a cut-off date even after COVID started. But basically, you know, you should be covered. But the other thing to point out is the insurance is the last port of call, and.
And people are not hearing from these insurance companies, by the way. Somebody else told me the other day that they put in a claim. I won't say which insurance company, but they put one in and they haven't heard anything now in 2.5 months. Now, they were told at the start when they put the claim in, it would take some time and to, you know, leave it with them. There's big delays, obviously. We all expect that. But two and a half months and they still haven't had a reply yet.
Yeah, that seems long, all right. I mean, I know even with regard to refunds, sure, there were supposed to be 7 or 14 days and they're taking 3 and 4 months as well.
Okay, we'll come to that. We'll come to that next. Okay, so the main thing is a lot of people, now we sent an email to Aer Lingus to try and get a statement. Unfortunately, we haven't got anything back yet. Apart from the fact that they will be getting them in the next coming weeks, but that's what we keep hearing all the time. People who opted for a voucher from Aer Lingus going back 2-3 months ago haven't heard a dicky bird.
Yeah, well, now, the only thing I will say is I was the same position. I was due to go at Easter and I rang them on Sunday night and I got through straight away. I think if you pick your time, like 8 o'clock in the morning or an evening, you know, Sunday night or Saturday night or something like that, I got through straight away and just as a normal client, like I booked online like everybody else, and they're able to escalate it. And I've heard a lot of people say that. I saw somebody else tweet today, I rang Aer Lingus, and so I would definitely, if somebody hasn't got it yet, I would definitely suggest calling them, not at like 1 o'clock in the middle of the day or, you know, but I would, you know, choose your time and give them a call and you might be surprised.
Because I was looking at their Twitter account. I'm looking at their Twitter account and, you know, their previous tweet was, you know, that vouchers will be on the way. And there's about 500 or 600 replies under it. And it's all people saying, where's my voucher? I applied 2.5 months ago. Well, I haven't heard a sausage.
That's also a bit, I mean, vouchers you would have thought should be easy enough.
You'd imagine
to process, whatever about a refund, but the voucher should be easy. I know obviously they've had staff issues and had to let people go and stuff, but you would think at this stage the voucher should be out. But I would definitely tell people to contact them, because certainly from what I've heard from people, by just putting in a phone call, that, you know, it can be escalated. If it's been months since you've heard something.
The final question, obviously there's a government advisory from the Department of Foreign Affairs not to travel, unlike most other countries which are kind of welcoming tourists. Ireland is a bit of an outlier at the moment. So if you do go on holidays and you go off to Spain, obviously your European insurance, you know, for hospitals covers you, but does your holiday insurance cover you, because you're now going to a country where you've been told not to go?
No. Most insurance will be invalidated if you travel against government travel advice. as I said, you can get that European health insurance card. Definitely make sure you get that for anybody going to Europe.
Yeah, that's good advice. It's free. Yeah.
It's free. It's you get the link on the HSE website. But most travel insurance will be null and void. It's a bit of a catch-22 because if the government lifts the restriction against travel advice and say, okay, it's okay to go, and people don't want to travel, they won't be able to claim their insurance then. The only
reason they can claim
their insurance is if that government travel, and they don't want to travel, if that government travel advice is in place. So that's a bit of a catch-22. You're kind of damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Right.
The other thing just on the insurance is it really is, you know, the last port of call. So if, for instance, you know, Aer Lingus are offering a voucher or a travel agent is offering one of those refund credit vouchers, insurance company will kind of see that as a refund. So, they, you know, it's only if it's a case of like there's no, like the flight is operating, I'm not going, and there's against advice and you're not entitled to any kind of refund at all. That's the only way the insurance will kick in.
Yeah.
So like they will see like that refund that can be exchanged for cash after so many years as cash, which I'm not sure is technically right, but that's what they're seeing.
Well, there's a lot of new rules at the moment, we all know,
exactly.
We all know that.
Yes.
But listen,
yes.
I know there's all this advice is available on your website, thetravelexpert.ie. If people want to go on there, you can give them a bit of a help. There's loads of Q&As there. Listen, thank you very much indeed,
Sarah
Slattery. I appreciate you coming on the air.
Okay.
All right, I know everybody is in a bit of a quandary at the moment. They don't know what to be doing, where to be going, and if you've already booked, how do I get me bloody money back? Roisin, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Roisin?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. You booked to fly in July. Where were you heading?
I was booked to fly on the 5th of July next Sunday.
Okay.
To Lanzarote. I booked it last September.
Okay.
Two adults and two children. And
okay.
I paid €1,358 for baggage, seats, etc.
Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal for July. Okay.
No, that was just flights only with Ryanair.
Okay.
Then I had booked my accommodation separately, now the accommodation is closed.
And how did you book that? Through Airbnb or booking.com?
No, through directly with the hotel.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
Because I had stayed there last year, so I booked directly with the hotel. So this was all obviously pre-COVID time, etc.
Okay.
So my hotel is actually now closed. And 90% of the hotels in Lanzarote are actually closed. They're not reopening until the 1st of August. But my own hotel actually isn't opening until the 1st of October.
Okay.
So now my hotel has moved my accommodation onto next year. There was no charge, or else I could actually get a refund. There was no problem there. So obviously since this, the travel restrictions haven't been lifted and my travel insurance doesn't cover me. I had a multi-trip with Just Cover that actually was due to expire in May. And when I was renewing it, they had put in a new exclusion for that I was not covered under any claim caused by or indirectly by COVID.
But then again, you had booked it before that date, yes. So it should be still valid, yeah.
Yeah, no, but they said for starting on, it wasn't going to be covered.
Oh, right, okay.
So basically, anyway, obviously with the travel restrictions, etc., still in place, you know, I'm not going to travel. So I can't travel. I'm going with the advice.
Well, there's nowhere for you to stay. So I mean,
I have nowhere to stay either.
Yeah.
So I've gone on to Ryanair just to see if I could get to change my flight. I understand that everyone is trying to get refunds and it's hard times on everyone. All I want to do is just change my flight to a time when it's safe for me to travel or my family, change it on to next year or whatever, or just get a voucher. But they're charging me over €700 to do it.
€700 to change the flights?
Yeah.
Oh my. You nearly get the flights again for that kind of money, yeah.
Well, I actually went in and looked how much it would be to cost to get the flights again, and it was €928 to buy this time next year.
So it's only 200 shy of what it would have cost you to rebuy the flights again. That's crazy.
And also, Niall, if you went to buy the flights to fly out on Sunday and fly back on the 19th of July, it would only cost you €368 because the flights now are going for €42.99 each way.
Right, okay. So you're really in a shock. So there's no possible way of you getting a refund because the flight is still going, even though there's nowhere for you to go to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is bizarre, actually. I don't know why. Why are they flying people out to an island where there's nowhere for them to stay? I don't kind of get that. But there is some hotels open, you said, but very few. That seems quite unusual. But anyway, because the scheduled flight is still running, there is no refund.
There is no refund.
Right, okay.
Nothing, yeah.
So you're down on the deal. No matter what way you look at it, you're going to lose £700.
Well, at the moment, I'm going to lose €1,348 if I just leave the flight go and I don't do anything about it, or else if I try and change the flight, I'll be losing 21. Well, I'll be gaining a flight for next year, but I've already paid 1,350, and I'll also have to pay another nearly 700.
Yeah, so you're paying 2,100 roughly, yeah, for the two sets of flights essentially.
Yeah, and basically, I mean, I'm going on the advice, obviously. Now, I've gotten onto the Department of Foreign Affairs. I received an email back from them to say, you know, that the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade advises against all non-essential travel overseas until further notice. This includes Great Britain, does not apply to Northern Ireland. It also includes all travel by cruise ship. At this stage, we have no indication of when our travel advice may change. And regarding your flight with Ryanair, this is a civil matter.
Well, it is a civil matter. It's not to the government. Yeah, that's between you and them.
But if they're giving us the advice and not to travel, why can't they, you know, why can't Ryanair know that these, obviously, flights were booked when people, this pandemic wasn't here, this uncertainty wasn't here, and give people, you know.
But let me come back to your insurance again. So you originally had your insurance before the pandemic, before the event.
I had a multi-trip. I had an insurance.
Why isn't that covered? I understood if you booked it after the pandemic started, you know, or all the kind of worry started, and obviously the insurance companies have got on the ball and said, listen, you know, we're going to have to do something here. So I understand that. But because you booked it before they brought in that extra thing that you had to pay for COVID-19 disruption, why aren't you covered then by insurance? Surely then the insurance.
It would have been a renewal. And in the renewal, they said anything relating to COVID would not be covered.
Yeah, but your flights and your holiday were all booked long before your renewal, so they would be covered under your policy from last year, not your policy from this year.
That's what the email has stated.
Well, I would question that, and I would get back to them and say, hold on, this disruption that I'm being caused is not covered under my new policy. It's covered under my policy, you know, 2019 to 2020, which was up to the time of renewal because you booked it before the renewal. So it's covered under the old policy, not the new one.
Well, at the time when they were asking me for the renewal, it had stated, sorry, I understand what you're saying now, that it wouldn't be covered. So I was just on the assumption, obviously.
And I understand that from their point of view, from Multitrip's point of view, and I understand that, you know, that going forward, obviously, from their point of view, they would have to cover
it's
themselves.
Just cover with insurance company. Yeah.
But you booked your flights in your old policy, during your old policy, so surely that should be covered. And I would question that and argue that with them. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I'm just questioning is the fact, why can't Ryanair just in light, I mean, I can understand an administration charge in order to change a flight. But why charge €700? Why not just even give a nominal fee? I mean, I know that they have, you book them under terms and conditions that they're non-refundable, etc. But these aren't normal circumstances.
No, they're not. But the problem for Ryanair is they need cash flow because obviously they've lost a lot of money like every airline. And they would rather have, you know, somebody new booking that flight next year than you changing your flight from this year to next year where they don't make as much money out of you. So what they're doing is they're hitting people with a change charge. Obviously to try and get some sort of cash flow. And I can understand from a business point of view why they're doing that, but it's just unfair on the customers. I understand that.
It's totally unfair. And it's totally unfair that it's allowed to happen. And that, like, Aer Lingus, they have been quite good with customers. They're given...
Well, I would argue with that too, because I've calls here now from people who've been onto Aer Lingus trying to get refunds or get vouchers, and they can't get them either. So I wouldn't suggest that Aer Lingus have been too much better, to be honest with you.
Well, they're giving people the right to be able to change their flight.
Yeah, well, yes.
Yes, you know what I mean? So, I mean, Ryanair then are turning around and they're allowing customers the right to change their flight, anyone that booked after the 10th of June. I mean, you know, 10th of June.
Okay. That seems it does seem bizarre, because you'd imagine those people who booked after the 10th of June obviously would be in, not in a better position than you. But listen, I have to be honest with you, Roisin, that's a terrible situation you find yourself in. I hope you get it resolved. I want to go to Christine as well. Christine, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Christine?
Hi, Niall. How's it going?
You booked your holiday for August.
Yeah, August 21st. Yeah, we booked it in January.
Okay.
Like everybody else, our holiday's going ahead. So we are to go, we don't go, we lose everything.
Right, so if you don't go, you lose your money. If you do go, it's up to you. I mean, you'll have to, it depends on where are you going, by the way, again?
We're going to Portugal.
Okay, well, they may have, they're making an announcement, I believe, on the 9th of July. So they may make it before then. They may have some clarity today even. They may include Portugal in an air bridge whereby you wouldn't have to quarantine. Would you be happy to go?
Well, I don't know, but my husband wants to go, he really wants to go. He thinks that he deserves it.
he does. God bless him.
The creator,
and do you think you deserve it?
Oh, God, definitely. I suppose, yeah, the kids deserve it. I suppose everybody deserves it.
You know, I mean, I understand what Tony Holohan said, and I get it. And, you know, he's a chief medical officer, and obviously he's thinking with a different hat on him. But, I mean, I mean, looking at, say, for example, Greece at the moment, it's safer than Ireland. Portugal at the moment, they had a bit of a spike there again. But, I mean, the cases are quite low. I mean, I don't see the difference in being, you know, in Dollymount and then Portugal. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. You know, as long as everybody keeps to the guidelines and people are wearing their masks in certain public places and everybody's keeping a reasonable distance and not on top of each other, I don't see the huge... I wouldn't worry about it too much, Christine, but you would take your own advice and whatever you feel safe doing. But, of course, at the moment, the government advice is not to travel.
I know. It's just scary and it's just confusing on what to do, like.
Yeah, did you? Well, I suppose the argument is, did we always do what we were told? And probably not.
And that's it. I think Irish, I think that's what we do. They tell us not to do it and we don't do it.
We don't
fight very much, do we?
Yeah, but your husband is listening today, probably. He deserves a holiday, Christine.
He deserves a Christmas.
Would he go without you?
No.
He knows better than that.
He knows better than that. He knows better than that.
Well, look, you know, and how much money is at stake?
The holiday cost $2,500.
It's a lot of money to throw away, isn't it? Don't get me wrong, your health is more important than your money, but I think...
Yeah.
And you know what, Christine? I would say to you, leave as is. This is my personal advice. I'm not Tony Holohan. Leave it as is. Everything is changing day by day, and I think by the time you get to August, we'll be in a much better position to look at things clearer.
I think so as well, yeah.
I would take it that you're going, and then at the last minute, if you feel that it's not safe, well, then you could always just not go.
They did say to me, though, that if we, you know, there's a chance that Ryanair might let us book for next year, rebook it for next year, but we have to pay a fee. That's only a might.
But you heard the fee that Roisin has asked for, €700. €700 just to change the flights.
That's it. And even at that, if the flight's going ahead, they'll advise us just to go.
Yeah. Now, if they do cancel the flights in the meantime, if anything happens and we end up in another lockdown situation, they cancel, which I don't think is going to happen now, they cancel the flights, well, then you'll get your money back anyway.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, well, look, the best of luck to you and your husband and family.
Thanks.
Either enjoy the holiday or enjoy the stay at home, whichever it is, and I hope you don't lose your money. Sean, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Sean?
How are you? Good afternoon, Sean.
Sean, you were booked with Aer Lingus.
I was booked with Aer Lingus to fly out on the 2nd of May from Shannon.
Okay, where were you going?
Lanzarote.
Oh, nice, okay.
And, you know, with the pandemic and all coming on, you know, everything was on hold. But I got an email from him that if it was cancelled, that you had two options, either forward the booking, which is to another date, or apply for a voucher. They were my two.
Yeah, your voucher, you got 110% of your value, or a refund, you got just the value.
Something like that,
yeah.
No, but they were the only two options I got. So, I think it was around the 9th of May, maybe, or something like that, I applied for the voucher. But after I applied for the voucher, I discovered that I could actually have got a refund. I was entitled to a refund. So, on the 20th of May, I emailed them looking for fill up the form and looking for a refund, and I heard nothing back. And on the 19th of June, I eventually got through to them. It's impossible to get through to them.
It is impossible, I believe. A lot of people have said there's a recorded message or something like that.
Yeah, and you'll probably wait for about an hour. If you will wait an hour. And I spoke, no, I'm not being racist here, Niall, but you know, there were no Irish people on the phone.
Okay, so you found it difficult to understand the person you were talking to?
Difficult to understand, that was okay. But eventually, what I could gather from him was that he was upgrading the refund, voucher to a refund, and I would get an email. So I rang him back. I was getting nothing, and I rang him actually this morning. I said, the last woman said there, you have to ring early in the morning. And I rang at 7:30. And I got through to this woman, and she said to me, you're not entitled to a refund. And she was fairly abrupt on the phone and actually hung up. So I rang back again.
By the way, do you know something? That's not the first time I've heard that. Somebody told me during the week they rang Aer Lingus, and when they weren't being very cooperative, the person said they were going to, you know, they weren't rude. She said, I wasn't rude to them. I just said, listen, I'm going to take this further to the aviation authority unless I get my voucher as requested. And the person hung up on them.
Yeah, I actually said to her was, right, okay, I said, listen to Niall Boylan today, I said.
Oh, did you? I hope she's listening. She shouldn't have hung up on you. That's extremely rude.
Yeah, she said, well, look, she said, and again, I helped to understand that, but she said, have a good day.
And were you rude to her, by the way?
Well, not in the sense that I didn't use bad language, but what I said to her was, what good is a voucher to me? I said, I don't know when I'm ever going to fly.
Okay, so you were firm with her. I mean, you're entitled to be firm, yeah.
I was firm, and I said, look, I don't know if I'll ever use a voucher, I said. I said, how long is it going to last? I said, will I ever fly again, Aer Lingus? Will I ever get a chance to fly again? I don't know, I said. I had paid for something.
But from what I believe, now, I could be corrected on this, and Sarah isn't still with me, you can accept the voucher and get the voucher, and then you can actually ask for a refund for the voucher, from what I believe. Now, that would have to, somebody can correct me on that if I'm wrong on that, because I believe that is the case.
Well, what she actually told me, Niall, was, I said, look, if I don't ever use the voucher, I don't know if or when I will ever be able to fly again. I don't know, I said. She said, well, it is valid for 5 years, and if you like, you can change the name in it.
Right, okay.
Now, that's not much good to me. I mean, I think it cost 630 something euro. Now, I have holidays available again later on in the year because I wasn't able to go in May. So what am I going to do in the meantime?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I do understand these airlines, Aer Lingus and Ryanair, particularly here in this country, yeah. Obviously, they're our main airlines. They are dealing with an awful lot. They have a cash flow problem. Their staff being let go. They've no money. They're trying to, and I understand all of that. I got a statement here just from Ryanair while we're on the air. Ryanair has already processed over 500 million in refunds and vouchers since COVID crisis started mid-March. This is over 50% of Ryanair's total backlog of COVID cancellations in March and April and May. So in other words, they've still got 50% to get through. In other words, they obviously have 100 million to give back to people, okay? We expect to clear over 90% of the remaining backlog of refund requests by the end of July. Now, I imagine Aer Lingus is probably in a similar situation. But what I would do in your situation is wait till you get your voucher. And then approach them again when everything calms down, Sean, and see can you get a refund from your voucher, because I think the Aviation Authority said that they are obliged to do that.
Yeah, what she actually said to me was it would be probably in July. Again, you know, you just don't know
the most frustrating part, Sean, is it's so hard to get through to them. But look, I'm sorry that you've gone through that, and I'm sorry you don't even get to go away on holidays. Lucy, just a final call of this. Lucy, you're on Classic Hits. Aiden, Lucy.
Hi, how are you?
You booked your flights in March and you wanted a refund.
We were booked our flights in March and then the lockdown happened.
Who are you booked with?
With Aer Lingus.
Okay.
And actually it was my husband and my two sons and it cost about 2,000.
Where were you going? Where were you supposed to be?
They were going to Italy.
Okay.
So we got onto Aer Lingus and they weren't flying. And at the time, there were only refunds available.
Yep.
So we accepted that. But then we hadn't heard from them. And then my son rang about 2.5 weeks ago and waited for a long time.
Yep.
And eventually got on. And the guy said, that we could have a refund instead of our voucher.
Okay.
So, which was fantastic. So that was fine. Next thing, we get an email to say, we're issuing your voucher. And my son got back on by email, said, no, we were on to somebody, didn't get his name.
We were getting a refund, yeah.
Yes, we were getting a refund. And they came back and said, once the voucher is processed, that we can't have a refund.
Right. I've heard conflicting reports in relation to that, that if you do get a voucher, you are entitled to then redeem that voucher, provided you do it within 1 year. Now, that's what I heard, but I could be wrong again on that. I'll have to clarify that for people.
Yeah.
But that you're entitled to redeem it.
Asked for, could we have a recording of our phone call?
That's a terrible situation.
It's a pity.
Mind you, you were lucky to get through to them because most people texting are saying they can't get through to
waiting,
them.
He was waiting about an hour and a half.
He
was sitting at our island with his loudspeaker on.
Yeah.
So we were waiting for about an hour and a half.
Right, okay. So hopefully it's. And would you not use the voucher, do you think?
Well, yeah, possibly, but like I don't really know when. And
yeah.
2,000 is a lot of money.
Oh, it is a lot.
That we could do a lot with. You know?
It's an awful lot of money, Lucy, in any man's or a woman's terms.
Absolutely.
Listen, Lucy, best of luck. I hope you get your money back and I hope you get to go away at some point in life. But look, as far as a lot of people have questions about vouchers, I heard that somewhere. I don't know how true it is. Somebody maybe will clarify it for me, but I think, according to the Aviation Authority, that if you do accept the voucher, you can later ask for a refund on the voucher to redeem the voucher. But it may not be true. That may not be true at all, okay? So I'm just saying it, okay? But there is a big problem getting vouchers out. I don't know why it's taken so long. Absolutely don't know why.
COVID Connections on the Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.